Now I'm sure that you found your place back in the New Testament at 2 John. We are going to consider 2 John and 3 John together. And then we'll pick up the little book of Jude, a very important book. Now I want to have a word to say about 2 John as well as 3 John when we get to it, but I would like to share with you today an introductory matter that's very important, and very important especially in this hour in which we're living. Now, we have come here to the second epistle of John, and we've already considered the first epistle, and there's yet to come a third epistle of John. An Afro-American, or as some frankly prefer to be called, a black brother of mine in the South, I knew him years ago. He had the best way to divide these three epistles of John that I've ever heard, and they are three that you'll never forget, I can assure you. And they are to me the most striking and satisfactory of all. He called 1 John, one-eyed John, then two-eyed John, and three-eyed John. Now, friends, you won't forget the three epistles of John if you remember them like that. And I'm grateful to this brother for the way that he divided them. He was, by the way, one of the three conservative ministers in the community in which I served in Nashville, Tennessee. And he actually was a real brother in Christ. And that was way back, friends, way back in the days before you heard anything about this. I have always had the feeling that any Christian, regardless of what's on the outside, if he's right on the inside, that he's my brother. He's been born again. He's my brother. And that is the great truth, by the way, that we've had in 1 John, and it'll be continued in 2 and 3 John with a different emphasis. We are considering here, then, two-eyed John now. And the first impression, I'm sure, is the brevity of these two last epistles. It's something that's almost startling. You wonder, why insert just 13 verses in the second epistle, and in the third epistle, you have 14 verses. So that, regardless, both of them are very brief indeed. Now, someone is going to say, well, doesn't the brevity discount their message? It obviously means he didn't have too much to say. Well, not at all. It would not in any way take away from the importance of the epistle. In fact, it actually enhances it. It reveals that though it's very brief, it's very important, and it's essential in getting a perspective of the first epistle and not a perverted viewpoint. Let me illustrate it like this. My doctor has given me two kinds of medicine that I'm to take if I have an attack of diverticulosis. One's a little pill that I have trouble locating in the bottle. It's so small. The other is a capsule that looks like it's too big to swallow. You almost need a gallon of water to get it down. You have to float it first. But I've discovered in using both of these that the small one, the little one, the teeny-weeny one, it's the most potent of the two. In fact, I found out it's the most important one of the two. If the big one doesn't work, then you use the second one.